B-Pod Studios.
Fred, hello!
Hey, guys.
Hello!
Hey.
What's going on? Are we on fire?
People need to chillax.
Mike Francesa appears to rip fought while ripping Adam Gase.
I love meatballs.
Do you?
Let's go Red Sox!
Hit me like a bomb.
Go Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb.
Wall dick, but yeah.
She made out with my dad.
Hello! Welcome to the show.
Ram-a-lama, ding-dong, rock and roll is king.
Austin, Julian Edelman here, and I know this is a crazy, surreal time, something that we've never really experienced in our lifetime. You know, we're so used to having Patriot Day, Marathon Monday, Opening Day, St. Patrick's Day, Easter, Passover, but as Mayor Marty, my guy, Marty Walsh, always says, you know, Boston is a city built on comebacks, and we're going to come back from this, but there are crucial things we have to do to come back from this, and that's staying inside and being safe and social distancing, and we have to continue to do that. You know, as they say, the saying going around, stay safe, stay healthy, stay safe, and stay inside. But if you do go outside for your grocery or anything, glove up, mask up, safe up, and like they say, stay healthy, stay safe, and stay inside.
I will do a breakdown of that later today. Thank you. It finally hit home when he did it.
You got to glove up. Mask up. Hashtag t-shirts on sale. JE11, glove up.
Stupid.
Mask up.
Stupid idiot.
Stay Tom 2020.
Just dumb. They just hit home when he did it. Good morning, everybody. Good morning. We are the Toucher and Rich radio program. And we are... No one's in the Time Affair Tire Studios. Except for Dan, Nick, and Mike Lockhart. And Mike Lockhart and I have something similar that we did yesterday that we'll talk about later in the show. And I'll tell you this, is that this horse competition in the NBA, if I'm up against WNBA players, I have a strategy. And that would be to dunk. It's a very complex strategy. Because you say Zach LaVine.
Yeah.
What I would do is I would stand under the rim. Now, follow me here. I would stand under the rim, and then I would leap into the air and forcibly put the ball through the hoop with my hands, thereby dunking, and thereby eliminating them right away.
Do you remember that one time, I forget why we were all at this bar, but it was one of those days in the middle of the summer when, you know, maybe it was their all-star break, like the Major League Baseball all-star break or something like that, but it was the, John, when are the WNBA finals? When is that?
Oh, God.
It's like July, right? It's like right around the same time.
Yeah. Okay. It's late in the summer, I think.
It was like the only thing on TV, and I remember the game was like a blowout, and at one point near the end of the game, they were just not even trying to like score. It was all let's stop the game and see if we can dunk.
No, it was one woman in particular who was the only person in the league that had done it. Yes.
The girl from Baylor.
Was that who it was? I don't remember.
It could be Brittany Griner.
Yeah.
It could have been her. But all I know is that like for the last 2 minutes, like both teams just kind of agreed that, all right, well, the game's over. So they just kept feeding her, I guess it was Brittany Griner, the ball. And she kept trying to dunk, and she couldn't do it. And I just remember going, man, this is just, why are we, this is so sad. Stop.
If I'm playing horse.
Yeah,
what
they're
doing
like giving
is,
her a running start. Like the refs weren't even calling traveling.
No. What I'm doing is, is I am simply, even Trae Young, who's about 5'1", can dunk, I would imagine.
I would imagine that 99% of players in the NBA can dunk.
I'm not positive Curry can anymore.
You don't think Curry could dunk?
Anymore? No.
I don't know.
I bet he can. Sure.
I mean, it wouldn't be spectacular, but I think he can get the ball over the rim and jam it in. But more to your point, more to your point, Fred, Zach LaVine, I think he's won at least one dunk competition.
Well, no. Zach LaVine coming out of school was just known as the guy that could jump out of the gym. I'm surprised he was as good as he is because he was just supposed to be like this freakish athlete that didn't have any skills. So I know Zach LaVine, if you're playing horse, there's going to be some rule that you can't dunk.
I think, but, I think you say that. I believe I saw that yesterday.
Yeah,
that
right. Okay. So
they're going to make
big
it
game
where you can't dunk.
Big game of horse. Big excited game. So you know what I'm doing? I'm shooting from half court. and I'm shooting from half court, and then I'm going, you do it. UWA NBA lady, you shoot from half court. You're not going to be able to do it. No, you're not going to be able to do it.
Well, I don't know if anybody has half court at their home. Like, I mean, that's the only thing is these guys sometimes have these private courts, but it's not like a full-size basketball court.
It's certainly, it's not like Saved by the Bell where it's like a tenth of a court. It's a, it would certainly, even if it's a half court, you could shoot from the they're not even going to be together?
No, they can't. It's going to be your own individual. That was part of the requirement for being able to do this horse game, is that you have to have your own
guy,
court.
The fella from the Trump thing said that you could have small groups of people together. They can't even put put these people together?
No,
everyone's Skyping from their different private courts. Geez.
Well, then it's stupid. I don't know. Who cares? I mean, he said that you could put. He said it not long ago. He said it a couple of weeks ago. He goes, you can put small groups of people.
No,
I mean,
they're not going to do it.
But it's
from their own private.
So it's like, look, I'm going to do this crazy off the backboard free throw and it's going to be the guy in their other studio. And matter of fact, I was waiting for the names to come in of people who are going to be involved in this. And I was thinking, okay, let's see what kind of big names you can get. When it goes Chris Paul, Trae Young, Zach LaVine, that's not really going to bring in the viewers. Like, Chris Paul's a big name, but Trae Young, I mean, could you go out in the street right now and show a picture of somebody and the average sports fan goes, that's Trae Young?
The idea of Trae Young, though, is that he's a spectacular outside shooter. So that's the idea.
Fine, but he's not a star, and you need stars.
Well,
if they're not going to be in the same gym, then it's pointless to watch. I was under the assumption that they would be in the same gym.
No, you can't do that right now. That's
the guy said that you could have small groups of people that you can do that.
I think they're worried about the same thing that baseball's worried about, that everyone's worried about, is that you get a guy holding the ball, sweats on the ball, throws it to somebody else, and they end up getting.
They
know,
give them
the
own
COVID-19. So
give them their own balls, and I mean, come on. Oh well, so they're then it's pointless. Then I'm not. Who's watching that?
They're at their home locations, indoor or outdoor courts, shot for shot.
Well, they've wooded up all the outdoor courts around here.
Yeah,
so they've taken that off the table. So you can no longer go to the elementary school and play basketball with your children. That's gone. So I guess that they would have – I don't know where they're going to play their horse game.
It's your own basketball goal at home. And you know what's shocking is that we're learning just how many NBA players don't have – their own, like, I'm talking wealthy, not just like rookie guys who live in apartments or whatever, but there's a lot of these players who don't have their own basketball goals, which to me is kind of funny. If you were a guy who did this for a living, I guess maybe your whole thought process was why would I need that when the facility's right near me and I kind of want to get away from that. But it's still pretty funny how a lot of these guys haven't shot a basketball since the season's been over because they can't.
Rich, Jason Tatum, perfect example. Was there any guy who was more on fire than Jason Tatum, and now he's going to go, 8 weeks without shooting a basketball?
He said he hasn't touched a basketball since the season's been over. So, I mean, once again, there you go. You have an all-star who can't even practice at home, and I got to think that that's going to change.
Well, a coach's wet dream is a guy not shooting a basketball, It's them doing other drills. So have you ever talked to a basketball coach recently?
Yeah, that's true.
The last thing they want you to do is shoot. They want you to run around and do another crap. So maybe Jason Tatum is just doing what the coaches are, their dream is, that you don't shoot. He's going Hoosier style.
Years ago, I was looking for, like, you know, when I was looking around to move, there was a house that we looked at that wasn't a big house at all. And it was kind of over near, it was in Brookline, I think, of all things. And I went inside, and I walk in, and I remember the listing looking really strange because it said something about basketball. I'm like, what is this? You walked into the house, and in front of you is the kitchen. There was a small little living room to the right where there's a TV. And to the left, someone had knocked down the entire wall of one of the bedrooms and part of the living room and converted it into an indoor basketball court.
Was it in Newton?
Yeah, it might have been in Newton.
I know the people that own it.
Oh, do you really? Because at the time it was for sale. And I walked in like,
I know
this is like the most horribly awkwardly designed like court.
Oh, it's cool.
I've ever
seen. So cool.
It's like weird, so, though.
Yeah, but it's really cool. I mean, they have like a basketball court in their house.
Yeah, like you walk in and it's to the
it's
left.
It's like a half court. Yeah,
like, it's like a half court to the left and it like overlooks the street.
I know the people who own it.
Okay,
we looked at that house. I can't say how, but I know the people that own it.
Dude, it's weird. But that's, I'm imagining that was probably at some point somebody who probably played professionally who wanted to practice. I don't know who owned it before they did or who was selling it at the time.
Was it off of Commonwealth?
I don't remember where it is, but yeah, I do believe it was somewhere
to
know in Newton.
It has to be the same.
Well, I mean, how many houses have like indoor basketball courts in the living room as soon as you walk in?
Yeah, I know
and it's not a
is.
Big house. It's like a normal neighborhood home, and you're just like, oh my, like this is really odd that you threw that in there.
It's a fairly large house, but it's not, it's not a mansion.
Put it this way, if you drove down the street, it would be on a cul-de-sac with like five other houses. Like it's like that kind of house. It's like a neighborhood house.
Yeah.
But it's
much bigger than my house. But yes, it's not a mansion. But yes, I know the people that own it. That's so funny. I know the people that own that house. All right, Rich, what do we have coming up?
Well, Tom Brady spoke, and to be quite honest, after we got off the air, it actually got a little more interesting than it was in the first hour and a half. Couldn't have been more boring at the beginning, but then he actually gave us a couple nuggets, so we'll get to some of that stuff.
All right, we'll be right back.
The games are only half of it. Hatcher and Rich, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Boston sports fans start their day with Toucher and Rich.
No, Fred, come on, man. This is a family radio show.
No, it's not. Not really.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
Recapping what you missed. It's Toucher and Rich.
Five, the Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what happened yesterday?
This wasn't your mama's Tom Brady interview.
You never would sit there and say to a guy, I got to talk to you about this because it's burning me up.
No, I would. I've never said that. And I would never say that because you've got to believe people don't want to fuck up.
And there's always this question, Tom Brady, greatest of all time. But if he didn't have Belichick.
I think it's a pretty shitty argument, actually, that people would say that because... Again, I can't do his job and he can't do mine.
Oh, yeah! As he popped a collar on his leather jacket, snapped, and the demons were following right behind him as they danced in unison. Not only did Tom Brady swear, so the demons.
The demons was Fonzie's nemesis.
Okay.
Happy Days show.
I got the two of them mixed up then. I had them switching allegiances.
No, the demons were Fonzie's. And there was a fat little Jewish guy that was the head of the demons. which very scary if you were watching that as a child. They terrorized Richie in the gang.
Well, not only did Tom Brady swear so much that it felt like he was swearing just to swear, but he also, after about an hour and a half of once again being the most boring interviewee in sports, actually gave a couple of pretty interesting nuggets near the end of his interview yesterday with Howard Stern. Well, first of all, as we could all sense, Tom said that he knew that this was more than likely his last ride with the Patriots all the way back at the beginning of last season.
I probably knew before the start of last season that it was my last year. Before last offseason, I had a contract that got restructured. And then basically, you know, from my standpoint, I knew that at the end of the year, I was going to become a free agent for the first time in my career. And I had spoken about it with the ownership of the team, Mr. Kraft, and he was good with it. I had spoken about it with Coach Belichick. He was good with it. And that's what we decided to do. Over the course of the season and the off season, there wasn't a ton of substantial, you know, conversations for us to continue. We had some, and we both thought about it. And then in the end, you know, it was just a great way to end two decades. We had a great conversation about, you know, there's nothing, I know I said this before, there's no bigger fan of the New England Patriot organization than me.
I just remember after he asked for that whole no franchise deal and put his house in the market, there were all these people who were like yelling, saying, that doesn't mean anything. It takes a long time to sell a house. Yes, but you don't sell a house if you're not planning on moving.
Yeah, right.
That was the entire time. I was just like, I know that you obviously want him to stay, but you're all blind to what's going on around you. All of the evidence is there. On top of that, he was miserable all season, so of course he was leaving. He also went into a little detail on his meeting with Robert Kraft, where Brady informed him that he was going elsewhere.
I called Mr. Kraft, and I went over to his house, and I just said, and it was a funny time because we're all dealing with, you know, this current, situation, the corona situation that we're in. And, I went over and I said, look, I just want to say, you know, how much I love you and appreciate what we've done together. And I know that we're not going to continue together, but, you know, that thank you, you know, thank you for providing what you have for my family and for my career. And then I was able to call Coach Belichick at the same time and thank him, and it was great. I mean, I wouldn't have had it any other way. I was crying. I mean, I'm a very emotional person. I have a deep caring for the people that I've worked with, and I wish nothing but the best for them.
So, was that reported that he had called Bill Belichick? I don't remember.
No.
See, I thought that the whole thing was that he had spoken to Kraft, and then that was probably that the last time he had spoken to Belichick was when they had talked about his contract.
I don't remember him that report at all. I mean, now that I'm thinking about it, when he went to visit Kraft, the initial report was the two of them got on the phone with Belichick.
That's
what I remember.
All right, that's right. Together they did that. That's right.
Yeah, well, Belichick was in Belize at a rave. it was very difficult to hear on the phone.
Yeah, the Fyre Fest that was successful. He just went to some island where there was a. He went to Fight Island, as a matter of fact, with Dana White. Well, one thing that was probably the most interesting about yesterday was that Brady may have refused to talk trash about Bill Belichick, as we mentioned. And trust me, he was given many opportunities, but he did not hold back throwing a little blame Giselle's way.
She actually wrote me a letter, and it was a very thought out letter that. You know, she wrote it to me, and I still have it. And, you know, I keep it in a drawer, and I read it, you know, and it's a very heartfelt letter for her to say, this is where I'm at in our marriage. And, you know, it's a good reminder for me that things are going to change and evolve over time. What happened and what worked for us 10 years ago won't work for us forever, you know, because we're growing in different ways. And, you know, I'm influenced by different people and situations. So is she. We're not together all the time. Then when you come back together, you know, she may have moved on an opinion or a feeling or a thought. I may have moved on an opinion or feeling or thought. And then how do you figure out a way to get it together? But, you know, for me, a healthy marriage wasn't what always worked for me. It was really, and it shouldn't be what always works for her. There's family decisions that are made. And I think for men, most men want to focus on their career.
Yeah, they talked about how they talked
about
it. Do you
think that she farts in front of him?
No.
I don't think she doesn't look like a farter to me.
No.
Like, there's some women that you can look at and go, that's a farter. I don't think she's one of them.
Yeah, I'm wondering if she like goes, like, I got to take a dump. And then goes into the bathroom.
Maybe that, but not a farter. She might be a dumper, but not a farter.
So she goes, I got to go take a dump, and then at that point, I'm throwing the letter away.
Just burning it?
Yeah, I'm going, who are you to tell me what to do? You're telling me you got to take a dump.
That's, you know, I was thinking about this yesterday, and obviously everyone's marriage is different, it's the same. And the first reaction that I had, just the visceral reaction that I had when I heard that, is like, imagine being someone who just got like your ribs nearly broken, and you were hit like it was one of those games where you got like hit, sacked like five times, and you've got these 300-pound linemen just like crushing your bones. Your body just wants to quit, and you get home and you get that letter. You're not doing enough for our family. Like, that was my visceral reaction. Like, yeah. You've got to be kidding me. I basically get into like five car wrecks at least every Sunday, and I'm not doing enough for the family. But then, of course, I mean, she had a massive career too, so she gave up a lot. I understand it, but that was my instant visceral reaction.
She doesn't get to make money anymore?
I think that she's had to give up a lot in order to maintain the family. I mean, I think that she definitely has toned down the amount of things that she's done. She does a ton of gigs, but yeah, I mean, in order to spend time with the family and help rear them, she's had to give up a lot. But
I would imagine there's quite a bit of staff around
I think that I guarantee you she's had to give up some stuff, but I just heard that, and that was like, and maybe that's just the male side of things, but that was my instant reactions. Like, you've got to be effing kidding me. Have you seen how he gets ripped apart on a weekly basis, and you're not doing enough? Well, one thing that was interesting about all this as well is that Brady was then asked about his relationship with Donald Trump and how it affected his relationship with people on his team.
Well, he wanted me to speak at that convention too, and I think that I wasn't going to do anything political because I met him in 2001, and it was probably very similar to our relationship that you had with him. You know, like I met him in 2001. In 2002, he asked me after I won my first Super Bowl to go judge a Miss USA competition. He would call me after games and I watch your game, Tom, and you know, right. come, you know, let's play golf together. So 2003, 2004, you know, he'd cheer for the Patriots, and he always had a way of connecting with people, and still does. But you know, and then the whole political aspect came, and I think, you know, was uncomfortable for me because, you know, you can't undo things, and not that I would undo a friendship or, but you know, the political support is totally different than the support of a friend.
I'm just glad that Stern asked about the funniest part of that entire relationship, and that was the rumor that Donald tried to get Brady to hook up with his daughter Ivanka.
Yeah,
and like almost like, you know, like in medieval times where they tried to match the two together, bring the houses
yeah,
together.
He was trying to you know, create a child. He was trying to masterfully create a superhuman. Mm-hmm. Between Tom Brady and his beloved Ivanka.
Well, here's what he had to say about that.
Trump always dreamed of you marrying Ivanka. And he told me he suggested it to you. But did you ever did you ever go out with her?
That was a long time ago.
Did you consider it?
You know, did I consider dating her?
Yeah.
No, there was never that where we ever dated or anything like that. But you know, I have a daughter, so I'd want my daughter to. Would I ever arrange my daughter?
I know it's weird.
Somebody, I don't know.
Get trailed off there. I don't know. Maybe I would.
Yeah, maybe you would have an arranged marriage.
It depends who it is. I mean, we'll see.
When you hear the last name Brady, you think arranged marriage. It's part of the culture.
It seems to be. Happened with Wayne Brady. Well, finally, Tom Brady was asked about testicle problems because who don't want to talk about their balls?
Pulled my shorts off at the end of the game because I thought when I got hit, something happened. And it ended up being a hernia in the game where the abdomen wall split open. And then I don't know all the details of it, but other than that, the testicles were like literally like one side was like, I would say like an orange, and then the other side was normal. And I was like, something's wrong here. And the guy who's my backup quarterback time, Matt Castle, drew pictures of me like with this one huge testicle on one side. And then he would leave them in my locker every day about, you know, this purple balls. He called me because I got all bruised up. And it was, man, that hurt.
Wasn't that Adrian Beltre who got nailed in the nuts by a line drive? And twice. Reportedly, it was like the size of a grapefruit when he was done.
I had a guy in my fraternity who was playing lacrosse without a cup and got nailed, and one of his balls blew up, and it never went down. So it was
really?
Fascinating.
So it never stopped?
It never stopped. And he had one giant ball. And I'll tell you this, without any regret, I asked to look at that thing at least three times. I go, pull your balls out. Let's see what's doing.
Well, the crazy thing is that Beltre, after that, I still think refused to wear a cup.
No, he got hit in the balls again. He got a line drive to the balls, and then he got hit in the balls again. And wouldn't wear. He still doesn't wear a cup. So yeah, he just, you know, he's just like, these are just balls. What do I need? What am I doing that's so important with balls?
I wonder how long it hurts. Like because obviously when it happens, it hurts. Everyone knows that. But I mean, does it just continue to hurt?
No, my friend from college was perfectly fine, except for the grotesque size of his left testicle. But, yeah, it didn't hurt. But, oh, boy, did we look at that thing. I'll tell you that.
Someone just tweeted, Carol Baskins is a farter. Yes. Now, she's a woman who looks like a farter. There's no question. Like, Giselle does not look like a farter. But Carol Baskins does.
Oh, Carol Baskins, yeah. She tells you when she's having her period. I mean, she's like,
oh, God. does the flower headdress give that away? She's like totally
granola enough. Actually, I think every girl I've ever dated has told me when they're having their period, so that's a bad example. But, yeah, she's a farter. She takes a dump with the door open. I mean, she killed a guy.
That's true. Maybe.
No. I mean, allegedly killed a guy. So, yeah. Well, there you go. Tom Brady had a massive ball injury, and I'm not positive that those go down. From my experience with the one kid from college, he was in high school. He was playing lacrosse without a cup, which is always smart, and he got ripped in the balls with the lacrosse ball, and his left testicle blew up and never went down. So I'm wondering if Tom Brady's walking around. It's probably not the size of an orange anymore. Half an orange. I'm not positive those go down. 617-779-0985. When you get nailed in the balls, does it go down eventually? That's my question for the people. Because I guarantee you there's a lot of people out there, because we have many, many athletes listening to the show. So tell me if your balls go down. Now, Rich, if this great phoner doesn't take off, what else are we going to talk about?
Tell us about your ball. Tell us about your big ball.
Yeah.
Who's got big balls?
That's what I was about to say. I was like AC/DC this thing.
Oh, my balls are always bouncing and the dancing to and fro.
Isn't that what the lines are in that song?
I had never heard that song until BCN.
Are you kidding me? That's like
I just had heard rumors.
AC/DC.
I just had heard rumors of it.
I mean, listen, I could see how you might have gotten it mixed up with all the other songs, was basically every one of their songs has a reference about balls.
Who let a Rosie? Fat chicks.
That's right. That's about just hooking up with a Carol Baskins type woman, I would think.
Oh, I think even bigger than Carol Baskins.
Well, I mean, according to the giant inflatable woman that they had on stage, that would say that, hey, look, when we're talking a whole lot of Rosie, look at how big she is. I mean, she's enormous. She's inflatable. Very overweight. I mean, if you couldn't quite imagine the lyrical representation that we are singing to you, take a look. I mean, she's huge. She's inflatable.
You just lay on top of her and let
gravity take its course. It's a bounce house. It's a woman. It's a human bounce house. She's fat. Whole lot of Rosie. Ooh, balls. That's basically an entire AC/DC concert encapsulated.
Yeah.
And a cannon! Pff, wake up!
Well, I mean, you know, shook me all night long. Very difficult to comprehend what the lyrics are about that.
She kept her motor clean.
She was Summer's Eve in it. All right. Very good.
Remember when we did literal AC/DC?
Yes, that was actually pretty funny. All right, we're getting some phone calls. 617-779-0985. We will be back. Here are the headlines.
You're listening to Toucher and Rich.
98.5 Sports.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Don't, you know, be a diva.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
They're very big.
I'm ever upper class, high society. God's gift to ballroom notoriety. And what? I always fill my ballroom, the event is never small. The social pages say I've got the biggest balls of all. I've got big balls, I've got big balls, and they're such big balls, and that's Daddy Big Balls. And he's got big balls, and she's got big balls.
Sing it.
We got
the biggest
balls of all.
And my balls are always bouncing, my balls are always full.
So the idea is that he's talking about like a ball that like a princess would go to, and then but he's actually
everybody says that I've got great balls of fire.
Oh come on, this song, you've never heard this?
No, I did, but I didn't hear it before I went to BCNU. I didn't listen to the radio.
Oh, okay.
He's got big balls.
Like AC/DC scared me.
Okay.
Like the Shockage album, like with Angus Young with the, or Powerage, or whatever the hell it was.
Yeah, like where he's electrocuted? Yeah.
Yeah, like that's, they scared me.
They're one of the few bands I can say that you have to see before you die. And I know it's going to be tough now because, you know, Malcolm died and, you know, what's his name? He's kind of not in the band anymore. Is he back in the band?
Back in the band.
Yeah, Brian Johnson, yeah. So, I mean, you have to see that. And Fred, for two reasons. One, it's hysterical. I mean, the stuff that they do, like the inflatable fat woman for a whole lot of reasons, but it's legitimately one of the best rock shows see. That band lasted for what? 50 years? Like 45 years now?
Yeah.
And they've yet to write one ballad. Like, I mean, it's just pure rock. And
well,
every song is like an anthem.
I'm being told in my ear that Bon Scott died 40 years ago.
Oh my God! Yeah. So I mean, they might be around for almost 50 years at this point. But they are
Bon
excellent.
Scott. You could never tell he was going to die.
I know. I mean, none of them look healthy.
Well, Angus Young doesn't drink.
I know, but he never looked healthy. He looked like the pastiest like human being on the planet.
Well, Bon Scott was missing teeth, and he had like the worst tattoo, and yeah, he weighed like 8 pounds.
He was not. None of them were attractive. None of them were lookers, which is another reason why it's amazing they were so successful. There were no poster boys in that band.
No.
No siree.
No, they were not known for their physiques, except for Brian Johnson, who's very handsome.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Rich, I'm not convinced that these calls are going to be any good, so let's move on.
Oh, okay, so you'd like to move on from stories of swelling testicles.
Woo! Yes.
All right. Well, since the Tampa Bay Bucks did their super cool new uniform reveal that everyone seems to be doing now, more Tom Brady merchandise was sold on Tuesday than the previous 17 days combined. On top of that, sales of Brady's merchandise spiked over 3,000% day to day. On top of that, once again, he's the top-selling athlete across all sports, and the Buccaneers, now your top-selling team in all of sports over a month-long period. So there you go. Tom Brady is giving a nice little windfall to the merchandising of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
I would assume that was going to happen when you get the best quarterback of all time.
Mm-hmm.
I would assume that you could move some product.
No, you think you're going to see a lot of those around New England? I wonder if people are going to follow him there, continue to be big Tom Brady fans, even in New England when he's gone?
There is sadly, a lack of burning of jerseys.
Yeah.
I mean, I was assuming that we would get burning of jerseys.
I don't know how you could get pissed. They didn't want him. Like, yeah. It's not his fault.
I don't know. How could they?
Like, they didn't want him.
Could you talk about deflated footballs for a year?
Yeah, it's a good point.
I think this is based on the premise that fans are irrational, you know?
I mean, they won the Super Bowl, and they talk. Yeah. Have you seen what Hurley's doing on Twitter, by the way?
No.
He's just putting random highlights up constantly. Like, he can't. The poor kid.
He needs some documents to read. Where's a lawsuit? When you need it.
He should be doing something. He should be, like, working for NASA. Like, he should be doing something for humanity. The man has got such passion and resilient. No, passion and dedication. He should be doing something other than putting up Patriots highlights.
He's locked in a little time warp of denial. He's just in a big loop of he's not gone. He's not gone. He's not gone. And then, of course, the season's going to start. And then we'll finally get the emotional breakdown. Then the tears will come falling.
Poor
Michael Hurley. I'd give him a hug if it wasn't for the coronavirus. Well, also, Brady mentioned during his interview with Howard Stern, you know, how he knew this was his last season before the season actually started. More than likely, that would be the end of it. And Al Michaels was interviewed by Mike Tirico yesterday. And Al Michaels had an interesting story about how he seemed to think that things were off in the middle of the season.
Conversations of what Brady told Howard Stern today, that he knew it was his last year in New England?
You know, I didn't get that sense. There was an undercurrent, though, and you hear a lot of things. And obviously, after 20 years, things began to fray. And I think the most revealing thing we heard from Tom is when we went in for the midseason game in Baltimore and on a Sunday night, early November, and they were undefeated. And we were talking to Brady, and Brady said to us, "I'm the most unhappy 8-0 quarterback in football." So that was an interesting thing. And then at that point, I had said to him, I said, "Look, I know you're not going to answer this question, but I just can't imagine you being in any other uniform but New England's uniform." And he kind of laughed. And I said, "In fact, Tom, I'm going to give you odds of 43,000-1. And one of our great research people, Andy Freeland, then plunked down $2 on the table to take the bet. So I now owe Andy Freeland $86,000 when we do our first Tampa Bay game this year.
And by the way, just to add to that story, a guy with a pipe came and hit Al Michaels in the kneecaps immediately after that interview. He owes him the cash. Get it soon. I've been watching The Irishman, so unfortunately violence is in my head when money is due.
Al Michaels, if you didn't know, likes to gamble.
If you haven't picked it up from some of the hints that, you know, a game might have...
They're not hints. They're straight up...
covered.
They're straight up facts.
I know. Him and Musburger, it's like they can't help themselves. Well, at least Musburger, when he wasn't doing a betting show, but when he was legit doing actual college games, he would just, after some point, he just stopped even trying to hide it. He was like, yeah.
Michaels is the best, but I really do like him. But yeah, I mean, it is funny when he's like, "Well, it's going to make a lot of people unhappy."
Right. The nice backdoor cover, just pissing everybody off.
Yeah, he's like, "Well, that's unfortunate that they did that."
Well, when it comes to who is the better of the two, Belichick or Brady, Rex Ryan, the foot effing master, he was somehow asked back to ESPN after doing an unthinkable and calling someone a turd. He had this to say about Belichick's success without Brady. What say you, potty mouth?
If Tom Brady were your quarterback, where would you be working right now?
Please, I'd be sitting back there with that whole thing full of those Super Bowl trophies. Like I said, they would have my name on it and not my dad's, my brother's, or whatever. And I truly believe that because I know I was a great coach. But, you know, nobody's going to give me credit. They're going to say, "Oh, yeah." Well, you give me a quarterback. You give me somebody like Tom Brady. We'll see how many of those things I would have won. But make no mistake, Belichick's the best of all time. I don't disagree with Max that if you would give him a good, an excellent quarterback. Look, you're saying, "Well, let's just throw in Philip Rivers." Philip Rivers may be a Hall of Fame quarterback. Let's give him somebody else. Yeah. Let's give him Geno Smith. Let's give him whoever, and let's see how many Super Bowls he would have won. All right, he never won in Cleveland. He had a good football team, but never won a Super Bowl in Cleveland. These two needed each other to be historic. And that's exactly what they are.
Ooh, he hated Geno Smith. Not like him.
I mean, look at your arm. I mean, you got a tattoo of Sanchez and feet.
wasn't it? It was a tattoo of his wife wearing a Sanchez jersey.
Yeah, that's right.
And then big Flintstones feet.
Very, very, very creepy. Yes, yes. Well,
give me a feather.
Well, meanwhile, in the lonely world of Julian Edelman, he has had charges dropped against him that should really never have been held against him anyway. He reportedly will not be prosecuted for drunkenly jumping on the car in Beverly Hills back in January. If you remember, back on the 11th of January, cops saw him jumping on the hood of a Mercedes around 9 p.m. Apparently, the car was leaving a parking lot and it stopped for pedestrian traffic when Edelman slid across the hood, Dukes of Hazzard style. Well, according to the police, Edelman reeked of booze and he was busted for vandalism. He was at a dinner earlier in the evening with Paul Pierce and Danny Amendola, and cops are saying that the owner of the vehicle told prosecutors he did not want Edelman charged because, quote, he had been fully compensated for the repair costs to the vehicle.
Oh, he bought his way out of it.
Yep. Listen, you sell all those Stay Tom 2020 t-shirts.
Yeah, we'll get to his video coming up later in the show.
Can't wait.
The most obvious. God, I you know what? It's at the point now. I'll say it. I can't stand him. I can't stand Julian.
At the point now, you've been this way for years.
Yeah, this is not new news, Fred.
No. It was always like he's kind of douchey. I can't stand him now. I cannot stand him.
At least he's consistent.
I mean, talk about unnecessary.
Yeah. But you know what? I'm sure he hears about this, but he still cranks it out.
What's unnecessary?
His stupid video.
Oh, that one that we played at the beginning of the show?
Yeah, and we'll get to it.
I think he was asked to do that by the
mayor. Oh, yeah. Asked by who?
Big Poppy was asked? No, yeah, I think the mayor's asked all these athletes to do it.
I don't care. I don't care. It was ridiculous. It doesn't matter who asked him to do it. I don't care if the mayor asked you. If the mayor asked you to do something, it's not like there's a gun to your head that you got to go do it. And maybe the mayor should focus more on the problems at hand than, you know, rubbing elbows with midgets.
Listen, it was a douchey video. If the mayor asked you to do it, you do it.
I wouldn't do it.
I would. The mayor says, "Hey, we want your listeners." Obviously, now, what
now? Now, like as of now,
yeah.
On April 9th, when everyone's been home for 3.5 weeks. I'm gonna make a video saying to stay home.
Mayor asked me to do it, I'll do it.
Well, he ain't my mayor. I'll tell you that.
I think he's done a pretty good job, to be quite honest.
I don't know what he's done. I don't live in his city. I got my own mayor. Lady.
She's a lady.
It used to be Semi, but I don't know who it is anymore. But it's a woman. And she's the mayor of Newton. And that's who I stand by.
Okay. If she asked you to do it, you would do it, though, right?
Oh, if the mayor of Newton asked me to do anything, yes.
There you go.
I am anything she wants. The mayor of Newton. I will do it.
Mayor Flavortown. If he asked you to do it, then of course.
Oh, God. Can you only imagine what's going on in the kitchen in his house?
He's coming up with some crazy concoctions.
So much experimentation.
So much donkey sauce just everywhere. Donkey sauce on the loose.
He's gone bananas with the donkey sauce. I wonder if he just has like a guitar player in the kitchen.
It's like, Julio, I need some inspiration. Turn up the Marshalls.
Because you know when this all ends, like, there's going to be, like, guys, you know, guys pop...
Coronaritos? It's like these new extreme burritos inspired by the coronavirus. Well, Coronaritos for everyone, man!
Yeah, you just throw some Fritos in there and put a Corona in it. All right. Do you know Corona stopped making beer?
Is that true? Because I had heard
it was on
that.
CNN.
Oh, they had to. There was a reason. It wasn't because of like the backlash. There was a reason that they had to because of their plant and the workers like that. Yeah. I saw that too.
Yeah, I thought it was because of the coronavirus. All
their
right,
sales are down though because of the coronavirus. That is true. Now that's true.
Well, I would imagine that that's what's going on. All right, we'll be back in just a moment. We'll in when I say a moment, I truly mean that now. And we'll be joined by the Bankroll Boys.
Stay tuned for more Toucher and Rich on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.